News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the DJ Ritchie Show.
Oh, well, hey, lady and gentlemen, here we are, live from Charlotte Motor Speedway in the Speedway Club, living it up. I mean, we're in the lap of luxury up in here. This is awesome. This is awesome. So we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. It's a typical Friday night feeling on the show. We're not going to get too heavy with things. And that is perfect because Lonnie Ray has been here all day working with all the other shows. And, you know, he doesn't like working with any of the other shows. He and young Isaac only like working with me. And so the other ones are a bunch of divas, and they've been giving him a hard time. So we're not going to make things too hard for Lonnie Ray tonight. So we're going to start out tonight with a special guest, somebody I hadn't seen in a while, and I'm glad to see him here. So Scott Cooper, what is your official title? Senior Vice President of Communications and all things Speedway. And
I'm just that guy at the Speedway. You know, that's good enough for
yeah.
me. You know, that's all I need.
The guy that's also been here all day and will be, you going to sleep here tonight too? You got to do that?
I will get a few hours sleep, but luckily I just live on the other side of Harrisburg. So yeah. I'm kind of close, so it's not that far from me. It's good.
Yeah, and I've never been here at night when things were happening. Now, back in the Ace and TJ days, Ace and I did this thing one time where we lived on top of the press box out in the elements and all until we raised enough money for charity to be able to come down. I don't know if you remember when we did that. But yeah, I mean, it's beautiful here at night. It's so cool.
This is an awesome view. And, you know, when the Speedway Club first opened, I think it was in 1987. At the time, it was the first ever white tablecloth kind of fine dining restaurant at any sports venue in the country. And of course now every nice sports venue in the country has got somewhere cool to eat and be able to hang out, but to be able to still come up here to the Speedway Club and you know, get the view looking out on the track, especially when it's race weekend, it's pretty awesome, you know. And some you know, the food's great, and it's just cool to be able to come up here and see a little something different from up here.
Yeah, now when they asked me about this a couple of months ago, they said, hey, we're going to be doing some stuff out at the Roval. Are you, you know, you good with that? You want to be involved in that? I said, heck yeah. But then again, I didn't know exactly what it was. I just said, yeah, if it's at the Speedway, I'll be there. I'll be doing that. So what are there was a race today, right? The truck race was today.
Yes.
Okay, now, I know one of the truck race driver, race truck drivers.
Okay.
I know Tanner Gray.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And
Tanner's an old drag racing guy too, you know, and raced over at Z-Max Dragway with us.
And if you ask Tanner Gray if he knows me, he will probably say yeah, and he knows as little about racing as anybody I've ever seen. We went to a dirt track race that he was in one time, and I didn't realize it. I was up, he had had some trouble with his car, and they were in the hauler, they were working on whatever it was, and they were having a little meeting in there. And I was in there just standing there, and then I heard him say, no, we're done. We're not going to be able to get it fixed, whatever. So I walk out of the trailer, and I just looked at people, and I said, that's good. He's done. And I didn't realize those were all of his fans standing around there. And I made the announcement that he was out of the race, and I had no business doing that. So that's a, you know, that's just me being in the way. So I guess they figured I can't hurt
anything.
When
you came out and said he's done versus the car's done,
uh-huh.
They could take that. The fans can take that an entirely different way too. You know.
Yeah, they looked at me like, "What are you saying? What are you?" And I could have just, you know, gone into the ground at that point.
Yeah. So you did hit it. We had the EcoSave 250 this afternoon. That was a Craftsman Truck Series race.
Yeah.
Playoff race. Corey Heim, who has really dominated that series the whole year, actually won today's race. So another big playoff advance for him. But we've got still a pretty active night going on tonight. We've got a Joe Gibbs Racing Fan Fest out in the fan zone. We're going to have a hauler parade with all the Cup Series haulers will come in through the fan zone about 8 o'clock. Two NASCAR Hall of Famers that are going in January, Kurt Busch and Harry Gant, are going to be driving some of their classic race cars to lead the hauler parade.
Right.
We brought the percussion drum line from the Panthers is up to their they'll be in the parade with us tonight, so that'll be fun. And then we'll have some fireworks and some music. So kind of a good way to kind of lead into the whole weekend.
But you know, that's the thing about Charlotte Motor Speedway. There is always something going on that's really cool. I mean, y'all do so much cool stuff here, whether it's around races or whether it's Christmas or, you know, all of the stuff that y'all have going on. I mean, you should really be proud of what you do as marketing and promotions team and everything, just to make people aware that this is not just a place they just come and watch races and then go home. I mean, you really have a lot for the – and it's family stuff, too, and that's a great thing.
It is, TJ, and it's also one of those things where, you know, people don't realize that there is something going on here almost all the time, year-round, completely. Mm-hmm. And occasionally, even as long as I've been here, I'll still meet people. They find out I work at the Speedway. Oh, you work at the Speedway. That must be really cool. What do you do the other 50 weeks out of the year? Because you know, they know us for NASCAR, but they don't know us for everything else. And that's okay. But from a Charlotte standpoint and a North Carolina standpoint, you know, we've got people coming to this race this weekend from 49 different states, 11 foreign countries, the District of Columbia, as far away as Australia and Peru and Brazil are going to be here for NASCAR.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's an opportunity for Charlotte to showcase itself. Twice a year that takes place. And, you know, you don't see that any other time of the year, and especially you don't see it every year like you do with the races. So it's a blessing for us to be able to host a big party that draws that much attention.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we just want people to leave here and feel like they had a great time and they want to come back.
Well, you know, when you talk to people in other states, like, you know, I'm from Louisiana, and so when I'm talking to people from back home, and on the first thing they said whenever I said I was moving to Charlotte, you know, 25 years ago or whatever, oh man, that's where the races are. That's where the races are.
Yeah.
And my wife's cousin would take his vacation week from work, and he would come here and stay the whole – and I know so many people do that because it's not just coming and watching a race. There's something to do all the time, and it is a great representation of the city and the entire area and the state, for that matter, North Carolina. Yeah. So y'all do a great job with it.
Well, we're very proud. Our founder, Bruton Smith, you know, had a vision, and then he hired Humpy Wheeler. Humpy Wheeler came in and helped carry out that vision. And this will be our first year without Bruton and Humpy connected to the track, since Humpy passed a little earlier this fall. But I always go back to his favorite quote. His quote was, "It's our job to put a little technicolor in people's black and white lives." And that's really what we're trying to do. We just want to give everybody a distraction from everything else that's going on in the world. Sometimes they can just come here, have a good time, and enjoy it with their family and their friends, make some memories, and then go back to wherever they came from.
Okay, so for somebody who doesn't know, what is the Roval about? How is that different than regular everyday races?
That is a great question. So our CEO, Marcus Smith, Bruton's son.
No, Mark.
So 7-8 years ago, Marcus kind of looked out at the track. He had this vision. A lot of people were talking about trying to get a road course race in the playoff part of the season, during the end of the season. So he looked out at our track and he said, you know, we've already got a world-class road course. If we did a little work to it through the infield and we could combine it with the super speedway, we could create something that's never been done before, have a track that's unlike any other. And so we did that, and we called it the Roval. So that track now is a 17-turn, 2.28-mile course that's very technical. It's very challenging for the drivers to drive. And, again, it is unlike any other course on the circuit. So now if you are a race fan and you enjoy road courses, generally the biggest challenge with road courses, TJ, is that the courses are so long, you're sitting in your seat, you can't really watch but so much of the race.
Yeah.
You know, you see your driver come by, you cheer for him, and you got to wait another minute and a half before he comes back by you again, right? Well, here, the entire course is within the stadium seating of the track. So you can watch the entire road course. You can follow your driver. So for a road course type of a race, it's very unique that way.
Yeah.
And the other thing that makes it special is this is a cutoff race in the playoffs. So what that means is the drivers have been in what's called the round of 12, means there's only 12 drivers that are still currently eligible to win the championship at the end of the year. After this race, the 12 goes down to 8. And then after three more races, the 8 goes down to 4, and then the 4 will race in one championship race at the end. So to be a cutoff race going from 12 to 8, I mean, if you're on the wrong side of the cutoff line, you know, this, you know, you basically have to win.
There's a lot on the line then.
Yeah, there is. So your guys like, you know, Bubba Wallace, who's our local guy from Concord, Austin Sendrick, who runs for Team Penske.
Oh, I know him too.
Ross Chastain, who won the Coca-Cola 600. You know, those are just three of the guys that are on the wrong side of the cutoff line right now.
Yeah.
So those are guys that there's a lot of pressure on them, so it's going to be fun to watch them, see if they can win on Sunday and move on.
Well, that's awesome. So there's stuff going on up here at the Speedway, and anytime if you just want to sit down and go online and find out what's going on and bring the family out, that'd be a great thing to do. So what's the easiest way for people to keep up with what all is happening here, all the different activities?
Well, number one, join the party for this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether you know anybody in North Dakota. That's the only state we don't have a ticket holder right now coming in for Sunday. So they need to join the party. But, you know, everything for Saturday and Sunday, charlottemotorspeedway.com. You mentioned it earlier. We do stuff here all the time. The next big event for us will be in the month of November. We'll run the World of Outlaw World Finals at our dirt track across the street. That's a huge event for us and great. And then just before Thanksgiving, we'll kick off the Speedway Christmas Light Show again, which has become a family tradition for people from around the country when they come to Charlotte and they see their families. So
it's really something.
Yeah, so all those schedules, tickets, et cetera, charlottemotorspeedway.com. And I always like to remind people, tickets for kids 12 and under to the NASCAR races. Tomorrow's ticket is free. Kids 12 and under get in for free to the Blue Cross North Carolina 250, and tickets for Sunday are only $10. So if you're looking for an opportunity to do something cool with your family, this weekend is the place to do it.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for coming by, and congratulations on all the great work. I mean, you should be, and I know you are, proud of all the stuff going on here that y'all got.
So. TJ, it's great to have you guys. Lonnie, it's good to have you too, man. I know it's been a long day, but I'm glad you get to end it with this guy, right? Thank y'all so much.
Thank you very much, Scott Cooper. All right, hang on. We got more coming up next.
Hey, it's TJ, and everybody in the country is talking about my new political talk show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, and they want more. How can I get more, more? Well, you can get the podcast every episode on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just get signed up for it there. It's easy. Just go to tjritchie.com, and that will get you there.
He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Oh, look at us, live and large from Charlotte Motor Speedway in the Speedway Club. All the activities going on this weekend around the Roval. Am I saying that right? The Roval? I don't know if it's obvious that I don't know a lot about rules of racing. I know I like it. I know I like watching the races. I love being out here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, especially at night here. It's so cool with the lights and everything. Now, the stands aren't full. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands or millions of people it holds at a time. But I've never been able to go out in the Charlotte Motor Speedway while people are there, because I'm too damn famous, and I would get mobbed. So I've always had to be escorted in and out through tunnels and things like that whenever I had activities that I participated in here. You know, they used to do, and I don't know if they still do or not, but they used to do these concerts that would be out on the infield and things during race weekend and all. I know the All-Star race used to be a big time when we the radio station I worked for at the time would bring in a big act. I don't like to always call musicians artists because that sounds kind of dramatic, because they're not all artists. But they bring in these musical acts and everything. And what I would do is I would have to be at the Speedway to introduce the band, like, you know, hype up the crowd and all that, introduce the band. I remember one year it was the group Train.
the famous group. They were huge at the time. And I would drive in, I would park, they'd come pick me up in a golf cart and rush me to where the stage was, and then I would meet with whatever big sponsors there were and things like that. Hobnobbing and that sort of thing. And whichever big sponsor was sponsoring the concert, brought the concert in. And it was usually somebody like Miller Lite or somebody like that. And then I would get on the stage, introduce the driver that was there for us to introduce. And then, ladies and gentlemen, like my partner Ace and I would get, ladies and gentlemen, train, or whatever, crowd goes nuts, whatever. I would then get in the golf cart and then head back out to my truck and go home. And this was in the middle of the day. Whereas everybody else that worked on the show, especially Ace, he loved all the festivities that went on here. They would stay all up until the wee hours of the morning. And I remember one year the radio station sponsored this big tower, and we had listeners that would that had won spots on this, you know, party tower, and it had a hot tub in it and all of that. And I just, even, I guess what I'm saying is that even when I was younger, like in my 30s, I acted like an old man. I should have been out there partying with everybody. But I get tired, you know. I need to sleep. And so everybody would be talking on Mondays about how much fun they had and all this stuff. And I missed out on that. So I said, tonight I'm going to be there, you know, in the dark. I'm going to be for all that partying and everything. And now I'm sitting here in this luxurious club looking out over the track. And it's not the same crowd that was up on that tower in a hot tub as the cars were speeding by that night. So I'm going to have to start my own party. I'm about to get crazy up in here. Lonnie, you ready to get crazy up in here with me?
Yeah, let's do it.
Man, I hope that shirt comes off fast, because we're about to start dancing, waving them over our head like a helicopter.
You don't want my shirt to come off.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Isaac, you don't know what you're missing being stuck in that studio.
I bet I'm missing a lot.
We finna get crazy, man. We finna get crazy. No, I'm not gonna embarrass the radio station. I know this is not that kind of station. This is not the kind of radio station that does all the shenanigans. But you know, the ones with our other radio stations that were doing the most partying and the most getting out of control at these things was the management. No joke. The management going crazy. Can y'all even picture Miss Marsha, the head of all of our radio stations in the company, at a Speedway event, diving into a hot tub drunk? No, you can't.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's the way it used to be. That's old school radio that y'all love hearing about so much. It's almost straight debauchery. Okay, the P. Diddy, Puffy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs has been sentenced, and we'll cover all of that stuff, give you the details of that, and if you got something that you would like to add, you can, 704-570-1110, call the number, text the number. You can text, thanks to Liberty Buick GMC. So we'll get into all that live from the Speedway Club at Charlotte Motor Speedway coming up next.
Hey, it's TJ, and the TJ Ritchie Show will be a multi-touch marketing option for all the cool businesses in town. I have no idea what that means. That was written by our business department, obviously, for me to read. If you're a cool business, I guess you know what it means. So go to TJRitchie.com and find out more.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Speedway Club at Charlotte Motor Speedway with the big weekend of racing going on here around the Roval, and people trying to make it into the playoffs, from what I understand, get to that championship. All right, Puffy has been sentenced, and we'll get into the details of that in just a second. But I want to tell you that if it weren't for Low Country Mail,
I would have been complaining about having to come out here tonight because I wouldn't have had the energy to do so. I would have been like, I don't want to go out there. I don't feel like driving out there. I don't feel like doing. I just want to go upstairs and do my show. It's Friday night, and then I want to go to bed. But no, I had the energy to come out here. I was looking forward to it, and I'm pumped. I'm having a great time because I'm not sitting around feeling like an old man. Now look, if you're feeling old and run down and flabby and insecure and all of that stuff, then you need to go to Low Country Mail and have them test you, because you could have problems like low testosterone, like I do. And once they start their treatments, you're going to be so glad that you did that. Now listen, you get that $150 comprehensive testosterone lab work done right now. That's a great price on that. And that'll tell you everything you need to know. Plus the $100 off your first month of the NAD Plus injections. That boosts energy and improves focus and slows the aging process. Not to mention the testosterone TRT plan, just $7 a day. So that improves the sexual performance and libido and boosts energy and stamina and muscle mass and strength and all of that. So look, if you're dealing with any of the stuff that I've been talking about where, you know, saying, hey, I feel too old. I feel older than I am, or I feel my age. Don't feel your age anymore. Feel a lot younger with Low Country Mail. 8 locations in South Carolina. Just go to lowcountrymail.com to get started. It's Low Country Mail, where they make men, men again. Now, big news. The Puff Daddy in court got sentenced to only 4 years in the penitentiary. 4 years. From what I understand, he's only getting this amount of time, and he wasn't found guilty on some of the charges against him because the prosecution didn't do a great job. He's 55, and they say that he could be a free man in just 3 years because he's already, I guess they give him credit for time served, 14 months he's been behind bars. For the sex crimes cases against him. Now, they said that he was so confident that he was going to walk today that he had booked speaking engagements for next week. So, I mean, we're talking about a real narcissist here. I don't know how anybody could keep up with Puffy at all and not know what a piece of crap he is as a person. I mean, he's just a low life, mean, disgusting person. And maybe that's just because I've been in the music radio business, you know, for so long to keeping up with pop music and rap and all of that stuff behind the scenes to know. But he's just an awful, awful person. And everybody knows that, but here's the thing. You can't put somebody in prison for a long, long time just because they're awful. The case has to be proven against them. And evidently the case, all the serious things that would have put him in jail for a long, long time were not proven to the jury beyond a reasonable doubt. Not beyond a shadow of a doubt, but beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, I know this because I'm an amateur, unlicensed attorney. That's how I know all this stuff. You're saying, well, you sound really smart. That's right, because I didn't go to law school. And I just call myself an amateur attorney. But I don't know what kind of penitentiary he's going to. Is it one of those what they call a country club prison? Any of that stuff. But mark my words. When he comes out of all of this, whether he gets paroled in a short amount of time or he ends up having to serve his entire sentence. And we were talking about this. My morning show partner, Riggins, asked me what I thought about this the other day. And I said, he's going to rebound. When he comes out of prison, he's going to flip this. He's going to turn it. There will be people that will say he was railroaded. He will be accepted again by the inside Hollywood people because he was in those groups, you know, those dysfunctional derelicts in Hollywood. thought it was great to be friends with Puffy, going to his parties, you know, getting invited to all of his little white parties and all of that stuff. Made them seem like they were cool because they had a tough friend. And so he'll be back. He'll be back in the swing of things. And I bet he won't serve his entire 4 years or however many, 3.5 that it's supposed to be. But that's just, you know, that's par for the course as far as I'm concerned. We got more important things happening in this country than worrying about Puffy. But yeah, I hope he serves hard time. I hope it's very hard on him. Just for the fact that he's a rotten person. Just that scene in the hallway, if you haven't seen the security footage of him dragging that woman, Cassie is her name, dragging her down the hallway and hitting her, and he's running around in a towel. I mean, it's just trash. He's trash. But then again, he's always been trash. That wasn't the first sign that he was trashy. He's been trash the whole time anybody's known anything about him. So that is that. Now, I'm not a runner, you know. I've never been good at jogging and all for distance, but there's a marathon that's going on tomorrow in Denver, not Denver, North Carolina, Denver, Colorado, that I am ready to be a part of next year. I'm going to train for it, and I'm going to be in this marathon. It's the Taco Bell Ultra Marathon. Now, what happens is the runners, while they're running 31 miles, they're going to stop at 9 different Taco Bells along the way, and they have to eat an item at each one, and drinks don't count. You hear me? You got to run to a Taco Bell they're miles apart. So you run from one to the other, and when you get to the one, you have to eat. Like for me, I would have to stop and eat a cheesy gordita crunch. So you eat that, and then you start running again to the next one. 10 Taco Bells is what it is. 10 in 31 miles, and you got to eat at 9 out of 10 of them. Can you imagine? Lonnie Ray, if you ate anything from Taco Bell, would you be able to run after that?
Nah, not really.
I'd like to find out, though.
Maybe a soft taco.
You think you could hold it in?
For about 30 minutes.
Isaac, if you had to go and eat at Taco Bell and then take off running like 10 miles to the next one, how far would you make it?
Am I allowed to throw up?
You can throw up and you can mess up your pants.
I think I could.
Because that's what I think I would do. I think I could. Yeah, I do too. I think I could do it. It doesn't say how fast you got to run, but they want to make sure Taco Bell wants everybody to know that they're not sanctioning. This is not a Taco Bell sponsored event.
I can do the whole thing. It's going to take a lot of heart, a lot of effort, but I think I could do the whole thing if you gave me a couple of days.
Yeah, but it says, okay, you've got to consume a Chalupa Supreme or Crunchwrap Supreme. Let's see, by stop number 4. So by stop number 4, you've got to eat those big items, at least one of them. So that means that they just don't want you going to each Taco Bell and eating a cheese wrap or whatever they call those little things. They want you to get in some, you know, like a Crunchwrap Supreme is a mix between a burrito and a quesadilla, and it's stuffed full of all kinds of things.
Nah, I got that, man. I'll probably just eat both of those my first stop, go ahead and knock it out.
Yeah.
And just, you know, keep going. I mean, you're going to have to pull trigger a couple times, sure. But if you're dedicated, you can do it.
What's your go-to item at Taco Bell?
The grilled cheese burrito. Delicious.
What's yours, Lonnie?
Soft taco.
Yeah. You just a plain beef soft taco?
beef, cheese, and lettuce. No sauce.
Lonnie's
no
a simple sauce. man.
Yeah.
Got acid reflux, man.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I forgot. Lonnie's acid reflux is worse than mine. So, yeah, I'm a cheesy gordita crunch, no lettuce. That's me. I tear it up. But I don't think... Well, here's the thing. I don't think I've ever eaten just one thing from Taco Bell.
No. You got to get a couple. You got to mix and match.
So I would have to probably... My go-to order at Taco Bell is 2 cheesy gordita crunch, no lettuce, and 2 soft tacos with no lettuce. And then dousing all of it in the hot sauce.
That's a good order. That's a good order. I usually go with the double grilled cheese burritos and then a stacker, a Mountain Dew on the side.
Oh, yeah.
It's off the charts.
Mm. Well, I'd probably be leaving a trail, if you know what I'm saying. I don't mean to get too gross, but, yeah, you'd be able to tell where I was running, that's for sure. All right, so obviously we're dealing with the heavy issues tonight. And actually, we'll get into some more, some things that are a little bit more serious coming up in just a little bit. And I do have a guest lined up for the first time on the TJ Ritchie Show. Not on the first time, not the first time on any of my other shows, but the first time on the TJ Ritchie Show. A very, very special guest that you're not going to want to miss. All right, hang on, that's all coming up. Oh, welcome back to Charlotte Motor Speedway and Speedway Club. Man, there's a lot of fun stuff going on here tonight. I didn't realize what all happens out here at night. It's like it's almost like you're not supposed to be where we are right now. It's like a secret, super secret location. Oh my goodness. Hey, young Isaac, could you please get cut 117 ready to go? This is Elizabeth Warren, who is, they refer to her by many names. Pocahontas is one of them, because she's the senator from Massachusetts that pretended to be a Native American, lied on her applications and all that to get into Harvard at a lower price or whatnot. Proven to be a liar, a dirty, rotten liar. And she's a full-on communist. I mean, she's just fully. She's not even on the border, just like with Marxist ideals and stuff. She's a full communist. So she was on some CNN show, and they were asking her about the government shutdown. And I've seen this clip all over the place, but I don't think anybody has really hit the mark on exactly what we need to be paying attention to in this clip. All right, so go ahead, Isaac, cut 117, go.
You know, Republicans say what you're really fighting for is taxpayer dollars for, as they put it, illegal aliens. I know that's not strictly true, but there is a provision.
Not strictly true.
It's not true directly, but...
It is a flat-out lie. It is a flat-out lie.
The way that they frame it.
There is nothing in Medicare that permits one undocumented immigrant to get $1 of assistance.
Senator, if you'd let me finish the question.
Of course, I'm sorry.
Sorry, in the Democratic counteroffer, the proposal for funding, there is a restoration of Medicaid benefits for certain non-citizens that it had been taken away in the big, beautiful bill, as the Republicans put it. Republicans don't think those people should be getting health care on the taxpayer dime. I'm not asking on the merits. Politically, putting that in there exposes you to this talking point, this lie, as you put it. Why put it in there? Why is it worth it?
No, what's happened is that what we're saying is that whenever hospitals give care, what is going to be the level of reimbursement? And the Republicans said it's going to be a low level. The Democrats said we just want to go back to the level it was before because you're going to bankrupt hospitals. You're going to put rural hospitals out of business. The Republicans and the Democrats plan, nothing changes the number of undocumented immigrants who still get care if they show up bleeding and unconscious at an emergency room. There is absolutely zero difference. The difference is whether or not hospitals, who under laws that date back to Ronald Reagan, may provide emergency care to anyone who's unconscious, will actually get reimbursed at a very low level that will put the hospital ultimately out of business potentially, or at a higher level. The Republicans, there is no change, no change in the number of undocumented immigrants who get any help under what the Democrats want. Look,
Senator,
what we're
looking
for is help for people who are going to get pushed out of nursing homes, people who are at home and relying on home health aides.
The thing that you need to pay attention to there, because if you keep up with politics, you know that anything Elizabeth Warren says is a lie, and she is a wicked witch. But listen to the way the host is just so apologetic in the way that he's having to ask her these questions. It's like the so-called, as the Republicans say, the so-called illegal immigrants. And I know it just pains me so much to have to ask you this, because I know the Democrats seem like they're on the wrong side of this issue, and the Republicans have a good point, but it just pains me to have to ask you this, Senator. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, if that is not a prime example of how just disgusting the main regular media is when it comes to these clowns and how they treat them differently. Do you think for one second, if that were a Republican senator sitting there, that host would sit there and soft pedal everything the way that guy was doing? No, he would have been in his face. Did you hear George Stephanopoulos interviewing the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, the other day? I mean, just so condescending, just calling him a liar basically to his face. And of course, you know, good thing Mike Johnson dismantled, he cooked him, as the kids say. But I mean, it's just, that is the shining example of how the treatment is different depending on which political party the elected official belongs to. So yeah, the government is shut down. And the Democrats have that technicality of saying that, well, we're not trying to give money to illegal aliens for health care. But it's just a sleight of hand. It's a difference in wording and how they're going to, you know, qualify and categorize people who are not, you know, Americans or citizens in order to get this money for health care and all. They're just so shady, and they lie so much. We're just used to it, but we are sick of it. We're sick of it, and nobody is really buying it. Every other government shutdown, it ends up being, you know, in public's eye because of the media. It's always the Republicans' fault. They get blamed for it, and that's what the Democrats were relying on this time. And it's because the radical, crazy Marxist wing of the Democrat Party is controlling it now. Which, by the way, I think they're all the same. I don't think there's a bit of difference between AOC and Chuck Schumer. You know, they try to distinguish the differences. Like, you got the radical wing, and then you got the regular, and then they're saying that Chuck Schumer is scared that AOC is going to run against him in the next election, and that's why he's going against Trump, because that's what they need to do. The radical wing wants them to go against Trump no matter what. I think they're all the same. It's just they're all in the same bag. And not a single one of them is decent as far as being honest or genuine. If they're called a Democrat in 2025 and that's the way they make a living, then they're just despicable. Liars, They can never be honest with anybody. I always wonder whether they're even honest at home. You know, when they go home, they have to lie for a living. But when they get home, can they leave that at the office, or do they just automatically lie about everything and things that don't even matter? Like, you know, do you like cheeseburgers? Is that what you want for dinner tonight? And if they do like cheeseburgers, they say no, because they're so programmed to say the opposite of the truth. Because how do you stop lying if that's what you do? Like, for example, you know, I'm a radio host for a living. I can't stop critiquing radio when I hear it. It's what I do. I listen to the radio in a different way than most people do. An average person doesn't listen to the radio the same way that I do, so I can't cut that off. So when a Democrat politician is on their own time, can they cut off the lying? Can they cut off being slimy and dishonest all the time, even when they're not on the clock? I bet they can't. I've never even thought about that, but it makes sense. Makes sense to me. All right, so going into the second hour, that first hour flew by. So no TJ on the news tonight. We got other stuff we got to do. So it's all coming up next. Hang on.
Hey, it's TJ, and yes, it is going strong. The TJ Ritchie Show. It's my new political podcast on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. And you need to sign up and get all the inside scoop on everything and get the special little perks by being a member of the Ritchie Gang. Be a gangster. Just go to TJRitchie.com and sign up today.
Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show.
Oh, hey, we are live at Charlotte Motor Speedway and Speedway Club. I don't know, I've been in town a long time, old habits, you know. And this is so cool, I've been waiting on this. And, you know, a lot of people, when they come to the Speedway, they want to talk about they want to talk with race car drivers and crew chiefs and all of that kind of stuff. But I am super excited because we have a chef here, one of the chefs at Charlotte Motor Speedway. John, how do you pronounce your last name?
Lucas.
Lucas, John Lucas.
L-U-K-A-S, yeah.
Yeah, John Lucas. Are you an executive chef?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Executive chef at Levy. Total 5-6 years through the race car world, and obviously started in some sports entertainment arenas, baseball stadiums. Now, decided to jump ship to NASCAR.
Right, and so I recognize your accent is from Alabama.
Born and raised in Texas, actually. Born and raised in Texas. I'm a northern boy, right? Grew up in Queens, New York my whole life.
Yeah.
Not too many racetracks where I grew up, so get to learn a new sport, get to learn a whole new business of the food world. It was a great opportunity, and happy to be back, part of the family, and can't wait to keep on moving.
Now, the reason this is so interesting to me is because I grew up in Louisiana, so you don't grow up in Louisiana and not come out of there knowing how to cook.
Mr. Ritchie, if I would have known, I would have given you my tortellini, my Cajun tortellini, you would have loved it. But you should have said that to me before I came on. But
from what I understand, we don't live far from each other, so
that's it.
This is not going to be the only time we see each other, I bet.
That's it.
So food is my thing, and this is, and not only because I like to cook, but the fact that when you think about the sports world, you don't really think about fine dining that much, but it is part of the whole experience. And I always love things that not everybody can do, and not everybody thinks of the fact that if you're going to have a sports arena or you're going to have a racetrack, there needs to be, you know, high end food.
Correct.
There and it doesn't just appear. You got to have a chef.
Proud,
you
know, to say that we've come a long way from just chicken tenders and hot dogs. Yep, we do cater that for our fan base, for our younger fan base. Right, anybody wants to grab a quick brew or a quick bite in the stands, However, we also have to cater to some of our premium guests. Maybe some business people want to come to a race. Maybe you want to sit with some family in from out of town.
Uh-huh.
So we could kick it up a notch, or we could still get your hot dog down from concessions if you request it. No problem.
Right. So now what? We got some dishes here. Now what is this?
So this is one of my favorites, right? Yeah. Everybody loves kind of a braised short rib or brisket. We're doing a 3.5 hour braised boneless beef brisket here.
Mm-hmm.
A red wine demi with a lot of heavy sage thyme.
Yeah.
Team's doing an amazing job executing some garlic whipped and bourgeon mashed potatoes there.
Uh-huh.
And just finish with a basic mirepoix. You crack a knife into that, it should crumble right with those mashed potatoes, and you'll definitely ask for more of that sauce.
Okay, so mirepoix is the...
I don't want to steal your thunder. Go ahead.
All right, so every other type of cooking except for Louisiana-style cooking, they use the mirepoix. They use the mirepoix, which is carrots, celery, and onion. In Louisiana cooking, we use the Trinity, which is celery, onions, and bell pepper.
Whoa!
How about that?
So our basic mirepoix, celery, carrot, right, and onions. Yeah. However, it could be whatever we want. It's just our prep.
Sure.
Right?
So. Yeah. But this looks delicious.
Yeah, feel free. I mean, dig in here, some stuff. You guys want to give it a try?
Okay, so, and what is the fish here?
So, leading into this fish, we're doing awesome swordfish steak here, right?
Yeah.
A little light lemon caper, butter sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Let the fish be the show, right?
Exactly,
just some simple ingredients, a lot of fresh herbs, and we're going to finish it with a little sautéed and diced diced potatoes there.
Yeah, spinach.
Nice, light, but still a decent finish there.
Mm-hmm.
This, the Chef John special, you know, the kid from the North's got to do something Italian. He's got to have something Italian. Everybody wants to argue with me about it, but we always got to put a grandma thing on there. So we're going to do grandma's pork rollatini. So pork tenderloin, basically tendered out to as paper thin as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
We rub some Italian breadcrumbs, garlic, parsley, oil through it, pepperoni, a little bit of fresh mozz, and we roll that up, sear it, executed to the best of our abilities. And this is something I grew up here pretty much every Monday of my life at my family's restaurant.
Yeah.
Can I get a pork rollatini? Here it is. And
it's beautiful.
I don't want to say it was as great as my dad's, but I'm getting close. So.
It's beautiful, too. This
is our winter menu, running it all year through through the holidays. We will be running specials, obviously, as the Christmas lights come on, things of that nature. This week, we're really excited with our chef's tables, right? We still have some open reservations if anybody's interested. And then we are open from Tuesdays through Fridays for lunch and dinner, and we're open on Saturday nights for dinner.
So that's just like, people, there doesn't even have to be a race going on or anything like that. You just come here and eat.
That's it. So that's the interesting thing. A lot of people just see the racetrack, see the tower. They don't realize the gem that we have in this Blue Tower and this Speedway Club, right? You come here on a nice night. Might not be a lot of action there, but it's peaceful and romantic. Come with some family. Come for an anniversary.
Yeah, the atmosphere is great.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Staff here is amazing. The team that has been with the Speedway Club has been here pretty much 16-17 years.
Mm-hmm.
So us, our family, myself as the chef, I'm kind of the new guy on the block. So they were very welcoming, happy to be part of the Smith family, and love spending time with all the staff. So
the sports world has you were telling me, you know, before we started, you were telling me that you had done some other things in sports.
So
I'm just saying it's because a lot of people don't realize that there are, you know, as we would say, fancy chefs at sports arenas and things like that.
Don't be fancy.
Don't
make me sign autographs now, Richie. But, so I grew up in family-run operations in New York. If you want to listen to a young man, I said I used to bust my dad's and uncle's tables at 6 years old in a luncheonette in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
And then I was broken in by my uncles and cousins on El Cortil in Little Italy, Manhattan. That's still there.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I had to make it or break it, right? You want to be part of the business? Well, okay, we'll see you in a couple of years and let me know if you still want it. Then I took an opportunity, right? I wanted to spread my wings and fly without the family.
Mm-hmm.
Knocked on the door with the New York Mets, right? Another F&B company running the New York Mets at the time. Kid that grew up in Queens. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I thought it would be a guy coming out with a hot dog and a radio, hey, and a cigarette in his mouth. Hey, you want to let me show you how to do this? And Chef came out, bright white Chef coat, right? Hi, I'm Chef Javi. And it took me back. It really put a lot of pressure walking in, like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. This is a different world, right? It's not the hot dog hamburger world that I thought I was walking into. It opened my eyes not only to, obviously, the revenue business and the money that is made, not only selling tickets, but in the rest of the business of S&E.
Uh-huh.
But it intrigued me so much because coming from a family run op where every little thing counts, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're throwing out this, it costs money. You don't know? So you go into these bigger stadiums or venue, and I see vegetables overcooked and they're throwing pans out. Like, you know, it took me back and it gave me an opportunity to shine, right? Yeah. Coming from the family place, nothing goes to waste. So you could really put in an effort to save on spoilage, things of that nature. And then I realized this is something that could take me wherever I want in my life. I had some great mentors in my family. However, I met some great mentors with the New York Mets, the executive chef. He said, I'm going to spend 85% of my time with you for the next 2 years. But I promise you, in the third year, you'll have an executive chef opportunity. And it took me across the country to Colorado Rockies. I did the World Series with the New York Mets, and then I jumped on a plane and went to the Colorado Rockies.
No way.
The beautiful stadium, right? Purple Mountain Majesties, right? 32,000 people on a Friday night, even when the team's not doing great. But then I had an amazing opportunity to go to Red Rocks. Red Rocks Amphitheater, right? Again, kid from Queens. I'm like, what do you mean? It's just a mountain, a little amphitheater. Then you go there and you spend some time doing an Easter brunch, Easter sunrise mass. And it takes you back, you know? You really start to appreciate the world and everything else.
How long does it take to go to culinary school to get to a level where you can start really making a living?
I was in the kitchen in my family's restaurant before I went to culinary school.
Right, yeah.
You know, they kind of just make you just do the paperwork, let's just say. You know, I remember the first couple of days, someone asking me, hey, what is this? I was like, it's a bait and a reed, dude. How do you not know it's a bait? You know, you're kind of taken back. Like, how do these people not know what this is?
Yeah.
And you made some great friends. You could do it in an 18-month to 24-month, right? I've had my family members go up to the big house, the CIA, spend probably 2 to 36 months up there, depending on what you want. Yeah. But you can get it done in 18 months nowadays and keep it moving. It's not the books. It's the experience in this one, you know? One day you blink, you realize you got 20 years, and you're like, oh, that's what this was all about, you know?
Yeah, it's the same thing in my business. You know, a lot of people go to broadcast school and things like that, and that's more of the to learn the technical aspect of things and all.
You think I'll fit in?
Oh,
I could be a hype guy, Richie. I know, man.
This is awesome for me. I'm not being fake, you know, and saying, appreciate we got a guest in there, and I'm just going to act like I'm interested in it, because I really am. And the fact that, you know, I guess in stages in your life, you get to a point like when you're starting out as a young chef and you want to travel and you want to see all of the different. And then when you get a little older and you settle and you're married and kids, I don't know if you have kids and you don't want to be running off to every, you know, I'll take a job over here this year and then I'll take a job over there.
Correct.
You want to get to a place where you're settled and it's kind of home to you.
My mentor has told me if you want to grow and move up in this S&E part of the business, you got to move.
Yeah,
that's what I was told. I did three moves, but it wasn't necessarily the moves. It was the experience for each of the venues, right?
It's
spending time in some Kentucky Derby, right? Indian Wells, Tennis Open. Like, you know, kids like me in Kentucky Derby, it's a great experience. But I'm like, I don't think I need to go support them anymore. But it definitely teaches you a lot. It teaches you to respect and appreciate where you came from, what you do, you know.
And you're a sports fan on top of it.
Oh, forget it. New York Mets to die. Yeah, New York Giants. We won't talk about it, but hey.
Well, let me listen to this. When he sat down and I found out he was from New York, it's where he grew up, I mentioned that my mentor and friend is the most famous radio disc jockey from New York. I'm telling you, the guy has the accolades. He was in the radio business. I mean, he was the king. And he didn't even know who he was. He said, who do you know that's a sports talk person in New York? So right there, he's such a sports fan. And then to get to go do what you love.
Oh, it's a game changer. It really is. It really
and,
is.
And be part of sports at the same time is awesome.
To feel a building shake, to feel a venue and fans, the pressure of the excitement, right? The buildup of knowing they're going to walk out of here safe. We know we took care of them. We know we fed them safe. May have paid a little premium expense, but it's our responsibility to make those chicken tenders the best chicken tenders the kid ever had, right? The freshest fries that the kid ever tasted. And let the family come back and understand and appreciate what we offered them.
All right, well, you know, we're a little long in this break because I got carried away. But, Chef John, thank you so much.
The guy over there saying keep going. That's right. No,
thank you so much, Chef. It was great meeting
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy the weekend.
I appreciate it. I can't wait to dig into this stuff. It looks delicious.
You guys want to come prep, you're more than welcome to come hang out in the kitchen, all right?
Don't get me in there because I'll stay.
It's a pleasure, Mr. Richie.
Thank you very much. All right, we got more coming up. Hang on.
Identifying liberalism. And mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Richie Show. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Oh, yeah, still having a good time here at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the Speedway Club. You know, it's a fun little shakeup. I know some of you have been hanging around all day, and you say, like, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. I'm waiting on the green-eyed patriot to come on tonight and give me my marching orders and tell me what to think about the issues and all. I'm kidding, of course. But there are a lot of disturbing studies out now about how many young people are thinking that socialism is not a bad idea, that we should try socialism and all. And that's a result of their Marxist professors indoctrinating them to be thinking that way. But it's our job as the smart people in America to deprogram them. And this is a way to do it, I think. You just bring up this story that has been in the news this week. This came out 2 days ago. And explain to them using this story what socialism is all about. You know, especially if you have friends who live in New York and they're planning on voting for that Mamdani. I almost cussed. I was going to call him a bad name, and I forgot I was on the radio live. Kim Jong-un, the inbred dictator of North Korea. Well, I'm going to read at this article for you quickly. North Korea's security services have launched a harsh crackdown on women with, quote, capitalist breast implants, end quote, according to sources. Kim Jong-un's regime is said to be using undercover agents and neighborhood patrols to catch those carrying out and undergoing cosmetic procedures who face being sent to labor camps. In one case, a doctor who performed breast augmentation surgery was put on trial along with two women who underwent the illegal procedure, according to South Korea media. The medical school dropout was said to be using silicone smuggled in from China in a procedure at his home when he was caught. So they catch this guy who's performing these procedures, and then they catch the women who receive these breast augmentations, and they put them on a stage in front of the public, and they sentence them to hard time at labor camps because they had received these quote-unquote capitalist, unsocialist breast implants. So it's not just an economic theory, socialism. Socialism and communism, Marxism, it's all a part of a dangerous mentality of the government controlling our lives. And when you hear of people in the United States just saying, oh, well, socialism has never worked because it hasn't been done correctly. We're going to do it the right way. They've been saying that forever. There is no right way for socialism to benefit a free people, or any people for that matter, but especially in the United States. Capitalism is the system that is really for the people. Prosperity for the people. When you can prosper by telling the government to get out of your way, that is the most humane way to run a society. So our universities, and hell, even our public school systems, like we were talking about the other night, have poisoned the minds of these young people. And it's been going on for decades. And it's time to start deprogramming them. And if we can use real life examples like this, because, you know, you gotta be able to relate in your message. And if you're just throwing out a bunch of historical facts and things with young people, they may not even pay attention to that. But you start telling young women that a product of socialism is that the government can come tell you can't have breast implants, or you can't have Botox. I mean, because it's so in this case it's breast implants, but the next case it may be you can't have earrings. Who knows? It's oppressive. That's the main message. Socialism is oppressive. It's not for the free people. All right, so I think the most special guest that not only have I ever had on this show, because the show is young, not only the most special guest I have ever had on this show, but the most special guest I will ever have on any show is here. And I will talk to this special guest, super, super special guest, coming up next. Hang on.
Hey, it's TJ, and the TJ Ritchie Show will be a multi-touch marketing option for all the cool businesses in town. I have no idea what that means. That was written by our business department, obviously, for me to read. If you're a cool business, I guess you know what it means. So go to TJRitchie.com and find out more.
Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
All right, once again, that Talktoberfest thing, from what I understand, the only limited information they've given me is that everybody leading up until the last episode of that is just, you know, basically the warm-up crew. And the last episode will be the big grand finale. Everybody else would just be the opening act, but I don't know who's who or when I'm supposed to be on or any of that. So, because they don't feel I'm important enough to tell me. So, we'll all find out together, I guess. Okay, so we're at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the Speedway Club. There's all kinds of stuff going on here this weekend around the Roval. What is it? Roval 400? Is that what it's called officially? Roval 400. This is an opportunity to have. We've had a couple people who for the Speedway come by. We had their communications director guy, Scott Cooper, and then we had the executive chef, John Lucas, come by a minute ago, and that was great. But since we're doing guests tonight, you know, I don't do very many guests because there aren't that many people that I'm interested in to be wanting to interview. But I said, if we're doing a show with guests on it, I got to bring on the most special guest that I could ever have on any show, and that is my wife, Jody. Hey, Jody.
Hello.
Okay, Jody's here. She came to get free food.
I did.
At the Speedway Club.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you do need to put those headphones on because it sounds a little different. She doesn't really do well with hearing her voice. And the thing is that nobody else does well with hearing her voice either.
That's a rude.
Put it right up to you. Come here. Okay. Oh, there you go.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that good, Lonnie?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So Jody and I do a podcast together. Mm-hmm. And for years, whenever, you know, she would call and be on the Ace and TJ show, or whenever she would come in studio, she didn't talk like herself. She was always, you know, a little bit timid and whatever. And I figured out it was because she wasn't used to hearing her voice in headphones. And so when we started doing this podcast together, I said, don't wear headphones.
Right.
And you don't.
No, I do not.
Okay, so now you're wearing them. Does it still seem weird to you after all these years?
No, I sound so great. No, I don't know.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to do something. I know you're getting mad about it.
No, I don't. Right. You know this better than I do.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So, Jody is usually in the bed by the time I get home from doing the TJ Ritchie show.
Yes.
But you do listen to it sometimes,
don't
you? I do.
The next day.
Uh-huh.
The next day. I can't listen live because I'm watching TV.
And it makes you nervous because I'm controversial.
Yeah. It gives me heart palpitations. Yes, it does.
Do your friends, do they get nervous? I know you got a lot of your Bible study friends and everything, and they listen.
Yeah.
You know, because they're all conservative.
Yep.
Or they wouldn't be your friends.
That's not nice. I have other friends that aren't. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they listen to you.
Mm-hmm. I think that those headphones sound different than the other ones. That's all right.
Oh, what? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because you sound like you're in a barrel.
I do. I mean, I'm just talking normal.
I know. It's not your fault.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
It's just the microphone's different in that headset than it was in the other one.
Did the other guests that had it on, did it sound like they were in a barrel?
No, they sounded perfect.
Oh, you're just being so critical of me.
No, I think because it's a different, he swapped out the headsets because the chef said he sweated all in those other ones.
Oh, yeah.
So Lonnie Ray didn't want to give you the sweaty headsets. So.
It's okay. I mean, I'm only on here for 5 seconds.
Yeah. But it sounds like you're talking on a CB radio.
I love that. Like Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah. So, Jody and our little friend Jenny and handsome husband Michael, they came up here because I told them it was going to be a wild time.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get here and it's just us hanging out in the little lounge area and then other people are enjoying the fine dining of the Speedway Club.
Yeah. But they like this kind of party.
Well.
Where it's just us.
Just us and Michelob Ultra.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like this Charlie Daniels picture behind you.
Yeah, I'm going to try to steal that.
Are you?
On the way home,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So is it good, though, that as much as I talk about it, that you get to meet Lonnie Ray?
I'm so excited to meet Lonnie Ray. Yes.
And then Isaac, he's back at the studio.
I know. I wanted to meet Isaac, too. I feel like I know these two.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And so Isaac, yeah, I don't know. You're going to ever get to meet Jody because... She doesn't allow guests at our house. I showed Jody that big snake you killed in your chicken coop.
That's a big one, wasn't it?
It was huge. Yes.
She was impressed.
I was.
I about grabbed a hold of it trying to get the eggs last night.
Ugh.
So, Isaac has chickens, and I didn't know you went and gathered eggs at night after the show and everything. And so you reached in there to get the eggs, and the snake was right by your hand?
Yeah, so I reached down to get the eggs, and I had the headlamp on, and I caught a glimpse of something. It was kind of shining back at me. And I just paused, and I was like, no way. And it turned out to be a massive black snake.
Yeah, and black snakes don't hurt people, but they hurt eggs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and they eat the poisonous snakes, so you don't want to kill them, but whenever it gets in the chicken coop, you don't have much of a choice.
Man. And didn't he say you had cut off some of it already?
Oh, yeah, I cut off probably 3-4 inches of it, of its head. Ew. Whenever I, you know, killed it, but it was still, a good 6'2" or something.
Ooh. Yeah, like me.
Yeah, well, you're closer to 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, okay.
We got to watch out because those animal activists, you know, Richie said something about the peacock yesterday, so we got to say nothing about the snake. We got to be careful about that.
Yeah. But people are texting into the WBT text line driven by Liberty Buick GMC, and they said, you sound great. Leave her alone, TJ. She sounds better than you. Leave her alone.
Well. Like,
whatever.
Well. I love them for saying that.
But I didn't mean she sounds bad. I meant the microphone sounds different. Not her.
Mm-hmm.
So then somebody else said, also very disappointed in your lack of knowledge in NASCAR. You're losing some cred. Hey, I've always said I don't know a whole lot, but I didn't say I don't like it.
Right.
You know.
We know things.
Yeah, we know things. We know people. We know some high rollers in the NASCAR world.
We do.
We live in Mooresville, Race City, USA, damn it.
Do you remember when we came here and we were, I don't know the terms because I'm not going to say it right, but we sat out there on something with headphones. Like we were a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
We were a big deal out there.
Yeah, we were. We got to sit in the pits and everything. With a NASCAR team.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wore headphones like I was something.
Yeah.
We watched those cars go round and round.
That's right. We were with team owners.
Yeah.
That's what we were with that night.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. So we do know things.
Yeah, we know.
Do.
We know enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
this is cool out here, though. I love this up here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we can just come here for dinner and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, that's what Chef John was saying. You can just come up here and eat dinner.
When there's not even a race?
No.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're going to do that then.
Yeah, I'll get us a little romantic table over there.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, get the four of us a romantic table. When's the last time the two of us have been out to eat together? It's always just the four of us.
If it's the two of us, it's breakfast.
Yeah. And, but little friend Jenny and handsome husband Michael, we're always the four of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to bring you to a date here.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wine and dine you.
Mm.
And I want. He did say they were open for lunch, right?
Probably. Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know if you realize it, but I have a volunteer job I do at night.
Oh, I realize it.
Did you know I don't get paid for it either?
I realize it. I realize all the things.
But, hey, it gives you an opportunity to get some time to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Soak in a, you know, a relaxing bath every night and do all of that while I'm
watch all the good shows.
While I'm upsetting people and having them call me a white supremacist and
a
Nazi and all that stuff.
I don't want to hear that. I'm watching Dancing with the Stars, so I don't have heart palpitations.
All right. Well, we got to take a break. Jody,
yes.
Thank you for being my most special guest ever.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. And look at me, you know, saying sweet things.
It's so kind.
Yeah.
Yeah. This will probably be the first and last, though, because I am not going to go into Charlotte and do this.
No. You would be too nervous being in on this show.
Oh, I'd have a heart attack.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at this. Chef John just brought us some cookies.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. All right, so we're going to take a break, and we're going to eat Chef John's cookies now. Live at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's been so much fun out here tonight. A little something different. Look, just throwing it to a little different atmosphere. Love that. It's great. We're in the Charlotte Motor Speedway Club. If you get a chance, you need to come out here and eat some night. And well, there's still time for you to get tickets to come to the festivities for this weekend with the Roval 400. And food is delicious. Great atmosphere here in the Speedway Club. Something different. Look, I got to tell you this story, though, about what happened today when I was coming out here now. I am the worst. I mean, the absolute worst when it comes to not knowing exactly where I'm going and what I'm gonna do when I get there and all that. I get kind of freaked out, a little anxious. So, driving up here today, there was a certain spot that we were supposed to park, and then they changed that place because of another thing that was going on. So I got new directions and a new, not even a map, but a satellite picture of the route I was supposed to take to get to the parking lot. Now, when you get to the Charlotte Motor Speedway, when there are activities going on, the parking situation and all can be a little intimidating if you don't know exactly where to go. Well, I don't know exactly where to go. So I'm following this thing around, and I drive too far. I'm driving right in front of the road that goes right in front of the main entrance, in front of the speedway. And they've got all of these fan things set up with different drivers, merchandise trailers and fan zones and all of this kind of stuff. This is where it looks like a festival, a carnival going on. So I pass the lot that I'm supposed to park in. So the lot that the lady in charge of everything, she said, you're going to park in the flower pot lot. And then she had flower pot in quotation marks. So I drive and I think I've gone too far, and I stop at one of the little information booth things, and I said I'm supposed to park in the flower pot lot. Where is that? And they had no clue what I was talking about. So I, you know, come to find out later, flower pot lot is the inside name, like the inside joke that the people in the front office of the speedway call that parking area, because there are a bunch of, you know, planters and things around it. Okay. So I called the lady in charge, and she told me exactly where to go. And she said, there are a bunch of cones that are lined up there. You got to get out, move the cones aside, drive in, and then put the cones back. So I'm freaking out. I'm going, okay, that is going to look so shady for me to be doing that, because you know people are always trying to scam, like parking in places that they're not supposed to be. And I am the last person in the world that wants to act like I don't have to, or for somebody to think that I'm acting like I don't have to abide by the rules that everybody else has to abide by. So I find it. I see the cones. I got out. I moved them. And as I start moving these cones, I got out of my truck and I start moving these cones. There's an older guy who's across the parking lot, and I catch his eye. And I move him. I pull into the parking lot. And as soon as I pulled in and into a little spot there, he's close to me at that point when I get out of the truck. And I see that he's coming to find out what I'm all about. Why am I parking there? So I get out. I go over to him, and I meet him halfway. And he says to me, he didn't say, you're not really supposed to park in here, or this parking is not for public, because the sign out front there that I drove past said no public parking. He says to me, you can't read that sign? I said, sir? He said, you can't read that sign? I said, well, yeah, I can read it, but the lady that's in charge told me I was supposed to park here because I'm with WBT Radio and I'm doing my show from here, and this is where she said that the radio people were supposed to park. And he goes, oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. Just pull on in here. And he goes, which one are you? And I told him. And he said, oh, hey. And then he just became the nicest. He was like, I've been listening to you for years, and I'm glad that you're on WBT now and all this stuff. And then I was thinking, I bet this guy has to deal with some, you know, the people that I was going, you know, so freaked out that I was going to seem like somebody trying to scam a parking spot. So that's why he's just, can you not read that sign that you just walked past it and it says you can't park in here? So then I was a little bit like, oh my God, this guy's about, he wants to fight. And any other time I would have probably been like, yeah, listen, you have to come at me that hard, man. But then I thought, he probably deals with some real jerks out here all the time. We're trying to, you know, get past the rules and all that. He's probably already been dealing with them all day. So I was just the latest. And he's like, I'm not even being cordial to this guy. This guy's a jerk trying to get past the sign that says you can't park in here. But yeah, I thought, oh man. Because if he would have said leave, I would have just left. I would have told Lonnie Ray, hey, the guy told me to leave. I can't find a parking spot. I got to go. I would have retreated. And then a lot of people would have been upset. But I just, that's why I need a chauffeur everywhere I go. And I think it's the least that WBT management could do for me. Don't you think so, Isaac?
I think that's minimum, you know.
The least they could do is have me driven to and from work every night. And in any of these events that I have to go to, I mean, just wouldn't even have to be a big limo. Just a regular, I don't know, SUV, like a I don't know. What is that? What are those G-wagons? Just give me a G-wagon with a driver.
No. We're going to get you a stretch limo, Hummer limo.
No, man, those are rough riding. I don't need all that. I'm just a simple man.
Hot tub.
You know, I'm just a simple man. I don't need all that. Just a, you know, and the chauffeur needs to be, you know, a hot Brazilian woman.
I was thinking a British dude. I think
no, man.
With a suit and a hat.
They're nothing. They're not much to look at. You know, with the teeth and the whole thing, they got bad teeth. I don't need all that. I mean, I'm just a simple man. I just want to a chauffeur that looks like the lead singer of the Pussycat Dolls, taking me to and fro every night, and especially when we have events like this. I don't know. Isaac, maybe you could start driving me everywhere. You don't have but two other jobs, right?
Yeah, I only have two, and then that, you know, the weekend thing. But I think I could probably fit, you know, time to do it.
Okay. And then along with being an egg farmer,
what's the pay look like on that?
Well, I tell you what, I'll give you double what WBT gives me.
Oh, no, no, no.
I swear I will. And I'll put that in writing.
And I pay for the gas.
And that'll be guaranteed money for you. Guaranteed. All right. So, this has been fun. Been, out of the ordinary. Giving me a little bit of a break from yelling about how devious Democrats are. And see, I don't want to be speaking too loudly in here because I don't know. These people are just in here trying to eat dinner, and there may be some crazy Democrats in here. I don't want to. It kind of hampers my my enthusiasm for, you know, these people are just trying to enjoy a nice meal. It's like, hey, we're going to take the family out tonight. And then they could hear Mr. Conservative Green-Eyed Patriot yelling at them about how messed up their party is and stuff. All right. So thank you very much for listening as usual. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you so much. And I hope you have a great weekend. That Mark Levin is coming up next. The great one. God loves you and ain't nothing to do about it. Bye.
Hey, it's TJ. And yes, it is going strong. The TJ Ritchie Show. It's my new political podcast on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. And you need to sign up and get all the inside scoop on everything and get the special little perks by being a member of the Ritchie Gang. Be a gangster. Just go to TJRitchie.com and sign up today.